Hey, John.
Hey, Nick.
What's the difference between a human and a Hoover vacuum?
What?
One of them sucks and the other one's a vacuum. Do you get it? Do you get it? Hey, do you get it? Can we just start this episode?
And this is Stranger Still.
Welcome to Stranger Still, the podcast where we answer the strange questions that you never think to ask. Like,
why is Nick's voice so high?
Oh, I was going to say, who's talking to me right now? Well, I'm Nick Wood. And you can introduce yourself.
I'm John Began.
How's it going, man?
It's pretty good.
I've had a weird couple of days.
Yeah.
Some old dude said that my daughter was going to go to hell.
That's true.
That's true. And
because you didn't accept his pamphlet.
I didn't accept his pamphlet that he tried to hand me without saying anything, which is rude in and of itself. Like, can't just shove something in my hand. We were very nice about it. I'm not going to dwell on this. I had another thing that was weird about my last couple days, but now I forgot it, so here we are.
Couldn't have been that bad.
How are you?
I think I'm pretty good. I mowed my lawn today.
Yeah?
So...
That's exciting.
I'm feeling buff and tough.
Yeah?
I'm feeling...
If you want to see pictures of that, you can go to our Facebook page.
I didn't post that yet.
Oh. Well, by the time you listen to this, you'll have posted it.
So. Yeah. Picture of my well tailored, well groomed.
I was gonna say well sunburnt.
Thank you.
This has nothing to do with what we're talking about today. What are we talking about today, John?
We're talking about what I did while I mowed the lawn.
Oh, okay.
Which was multitask.
Did you?
I made my heart beat.
Yeah.
I made my lungs expand and contrast. I made my eyeballs look at stuff.
Did you know? I'm sorry to burst your bubble.
Mm-hmm.
But humans can't multitask. So I don't know what you think you were doing, but it wasn't multitasking.
Okay. I probably did one at a time in tiny intervals. Heartbeat, breathe, walk, step.
That's actually closer to what you were doing today. Well, okay. So as we often do, I put up a poll on our Facebook because I didn't come up with a topic on my own because I'm lazy. So I asked you guys what you wanted to hear, and can humans multitask and other things humans suck at was the top vote this time around. And as I went through my research, I found that there's some animals that can multitask, whereas, spoilers, humans can't. And eventually that led me down a rabbit hole of finding things that animals do way better than humans. And now that's what our episode is.
How many BuzzFeed articles did you have to dig through?
A lot.
Like,
so that's interesting that you brought that up, because I was going to point out, like, I Googled things animals do better than humans to get some ideas for this episode. And like all the articles I came across were like flying. Usually humans have to pay upwards of $100 to fly, but animals do it naturally. I'm like, duh.
Cool. Wow. Thanks.
Or like living underwater. Okay.
Write an article at the last minute because I've got a quota to meet.
Yeah. Climbing walls and ceilings. Like, it's all dumb stuff that humans can't do. So what I did was I found five things that humans, like you and me, think that we can do well.
Yeah.
But when you look to the animal kingdom, they're way better at it than us.
Right. Like digging worms out of the ground with your mouth. Like well, bringing it to your children.
I am pretty good at that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just ask Rory.
I've seen her little wormy mouth.
I don't like this conversation. So...
Don't be ashamed for being a dad.
Is that
I don't know how babies are fed.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that. I'll teach you something when you're older.
Okay.
So humans gave up a lot of things in evolution, if you prescribe to evolution, which we do on this podcast. Otherwise, I wouldn't have turned down that dude's pamphlet. but I found five things that, as we get into this, I'm actually really excited to go through it, because there's a lot of little tiny science nuggets that I get to share with you guys that you can just like use to impress your friends this episode. Hopefully they're bite-sized enough so that you can naturally bring them up at like a party and seem cool.
Yeah,
because that's what I do.
Yeah, also the original name of the chicken nugget was science nugget.
Gross.
Yeah,
that's the pink blobs that come out of the extruder.
Yeah, but didn't what's his face from Mythbusters do a whole like pro McDonald's video series?
Grant Imahara?
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
That was really weird. That was a weird thing for him to do.
Yeah, he wasn't a Mythbuster at that point.
He was
the band had broken up, I think.
Yeah, he was debunking the pink goo.
Yeah, gross. But anyway, the five things that we're going to discuss today are, as we already discussed, multitasking, living in general, photographic memory, seeing, and sleeping.
Are we going to talk about mantis shrimp?
No, I wasn't going to, but we can.
I will.
Okay, don't forget. Where do they fall under my categories?
Seeing.
Oh.
And it's shattering shells with your bullet-like fists.
Yeah, it's true. Those things are crazy. So I think we should, since we've already talked about multitasking, and that's where this whole episode came from, I think we should start there, don't you?
I think so.
I think many of our listeners are probably multitasking right now. Like, when I am listening to podcasts, I'm primarily multitasking. Like, I'm driving, or I'm mowing, or I'm drawing, or...
Yeah, like, right now you're multitasking. Yeah. You're talking, and you're lying.
Yeah.
Because you just said humans can't multitask.
Well, that's true. Well, you've always heard people say, like, oh, I'm a great multitasker. I can multitask.
It's become an idiom, almost.
Yeah, well, it's, like, I don't know. I always think to when I'm doing laundry and watching TV. Like, those are two things to do very easily simultaneously. Like, I can fully pay attention to what's going on TV and fold my laundry.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because humans give off the appearance of multitasking.
Whoa.
I know. It's much like what you already said, so I had to, like, give it some flair. It didn't really work.
No, I'm excited and engaged.
Yeah.
You'd be a good professor.
I need some, like, tweed jackets with the elbows.
You need some elbow patches on there.
Anyway, there were some smart people out there that wanted to know if humans can multitask. So those smart people hooked normal people like you and me up to EMRIs or fMRIs. I wrote down EMRIs, but it's fMRIs, functional MRIs. And they looked at what human brains do whilst multitasking. And what we found is, or not me, not we, because I'm not smart. What the smart people found is that the brain is very, very quickly switching from task to task. See, I can't even multitask. Talk and read at the same time.
Multitalk.
It feels seamless. And if it's like a super simple task, it certainly feels seamless. And if you're like me, and it's a little more complex where you're trying to like read something on Reddit and watch TV, you might be able to notice the switch back and forth more so than if you're watching TV and doing laundry. Now, the problem with the human brain switching from task to task like this is we introduced a thing called switch costs.
Ooh.
Which isn't like...
Sounds boring.
Well, it's not like the MSRP cost of a Nintendo Switch, but that's my contribution to this show's humor. The switch cost, as you can imagine, is it's like an abstract value of loss of focus. Like, they don't actually quantify it, but the smart people tell us that the more switch costs you have, the more likely you're going to forget things or make mistakes as you're performing the task.
Okay.
Okay.
You nerd scientists.
What's that?
Switch costs.
Switch
costs. Just be like,
you forgot
the value.
N equals.
Of your attention.
Yeah. This, if you want to get even more nerdy, this is what one of the smart people said. This is a direct quote. They said, "It is argued that the switch costs exist because humans perform the executive control operations of identifying the current task, retrieving its specific stimulus response rules into working memory, and deleting the rules of the previous task, and adjusting the response reaction to the new requirements, a process known as task set reconfiguration."
All right.
So... in layman's terms, that means when you are presented with a task, your brain like loads in all of the things that it needs to know to perform that task. And then as you switch to another task, that happens again, but all those old rules are dumped out. So as you're going back and forth between these, it has to like re-bring in all of the information you need, and that causes switch cost.
So it's almost like our bodies work on electric signals.
Yeah.
And it has to send out multiple ones down different paths.
That's true. That is exactly how it works. Mm-hmm. But animals can multitask, which is crazy because...
They leveled up.
We gave something up in evolution, like so we could talk
and
to
watch
each other,
Netflix, yeah,
and make podcasts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, pigeons are over there learning how to perfectly multitask. So what they did with pigeons specifically, they tested this on a lot of animals.
What pigeons did?
Pigeons created this study. The scientists gave pigeons a task where they were given a bunch of rules, like the stimulus rules that we talked about. And then they had to process all that criteria and press a certain key depending on like what letter was appearing and what color it was and what wavy lines were pointed what direction. They had to figure out what button to press. And they gave the same test to humans, and the humans sucked at it. And the pigeons were really good at it. What's a synonym for really good? They performed very well. I don't know. What I'm trying to say here is they don't load in the rules as they're processing different information. What this test did was it took that, it stripped everything down to the stimulus response rules and only focused on that. So it didn't give like two tasks that were hard to give to both a pigeon and a human. They stripped all that away and just gave it the core details, and pigeons performed it perfectly and humans were the worst at it.
Dang. I want to see how much, like, cultural influences affects this, too. Because haven't you heard that there are, like, people that live out without, like, modern architecture, live in either a tribe out somewhere or something, and it's really hard for them to draw a straight line because it doesn't exist in nature?
No, I haven't heard that.
Yeah. So I wonder if you get people from different cultural...
It all comes down to memory, which is a fickle thing. And
because it sounds like the pigeons are just reacting immediately
The pigeons, they store their, it's the way that memories are stored. They don't have to process the memories so much as they're coming in, whereas we have to like load them back in as we're recalling whatever it is we need to do.
Got that pigeon RAM.
Yeah. There's other animals that can multitask. Animals or pigeons? There's other animals. Animals that can multitask.
Pigeons are animals.
Fish can apparently multitask, and we all know that octopuses can multitask. They have a brain inside.
Octopi?
Yeah, octopi or octopods, whatever you want to call them.
Ooh.
All of those fit the descriptor of multiple octopuses.
How many? Okay, we're gonna take a guess right now.
Yeah.
And I know that like it's very important for us to go on tangents as often as possible.
Yeah.
How many octopodcasts do you think there are?
Three.
I'm going
to
say two.
Eight. But what I'm trying to say, you look that up, I'll tell our audience that octopuses have a brain in each arm, which gives them their own control over their environment. What are you finding over there, John?
I'm just getting one for now, and then there's a bunch of episodes about octopus.
Oh, yeah. Well, now we can get this on the SEO and join that bandwagon.
Perfect.
Speaking of memory, let's talk about photographic memory. We all know Sheldon from The Big Bang Theory. He's supposedly got a photo. Oh, okay. You don't? Bajinjos.
I don't like that show at all.
Bazorbas.
That show makes me want to peel.
Not Big Bang Theory. How about Young Sheldon? Is that better for you?
Oh, yeah. Big fan.
He apparently has an eidetic memory or photographic memory. Apparently, that probably doesn't exist in humans. There's been plenty of people throughout history that have claimed to have a perfectly photographic memory, and either after extensive studies they were found to have been debunked, or there was special circumstances, like one person they came across could remember like all the details for the last 20 years, but all of it was pertaining to her actions and anything that related to her. She didn't remember like scenery or conversations that two other people had that she was just listening to. It all was like, I went here, and then I did this, and this person said this to me. So it's not like it was photographic. It was just she had a good memory, which human memory is weird, and everyone's memory is different. Some people have better memories. Some people have bad memories. Some people can't form memories, and that's where you get great Christopher Nolan movies called Memento.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I smooched a girl to that. I barely remember that movie. Lots of smooching.
Yeah.
I have a good memory of that, though. So
you do. There you go. Human memories. So with that memory, like humans are great with some forms of memory. They're not so great with others, and one of those is photographic memory. So we found this out much the same way that we did with pigeons, which is that we came up with a study that we could give to both humans and chimpanzees. And this is a pretty famous study. I remember hearing about it in my psychology class in college, where they took some chimps and they would flash like six numbers on a screen for a split second, and both the humans and the chimp would have to touch on the screen in order where those numbers showed up, and the humans sucked at it.
Yep.
The chimps were mostly better, but the younger they were, the better they were than humans. As they got older, it was a little bit more shaky, but that's how humans are too. So everyone's different with memory. So maybe you do remember the last 20 years. Maybe you only remember the last 20 minutes.
I have a nice like anecdote to that.
Yeah.
I was in a psychology class and my teacher was trying to teach us about short-term memory.
Yeah.
But she didn't tell us. Like, she's like, I'm going to read this list, and didn't say to remember them or anything.
Yeah.
Just said the words. And then said, okay, write as many as you can remember.
Yeah, I think my teacher did that as well.
Yeah, we remembered like nothing and we all felt like idiots. Yeah.
Remember like the first four. I think my teacher even said, hey, remember these.
Yeah.
And only remembered like four.
Yeah, and we all felt like idiots, but it was fine because we completely forgot about feeling like idiots shortly after.
Yeah. I mean, and where that comes into photographic memory is if they put that up on the screen and said, remember as many of these words as you can.
Mm-hmm. And then you blink really fast and you keep your eyes closed so you can see a picture of it.
Is that how that works?
Uh-huh. It's called photographic photographic memory.
Yeah. As we've discussed on previous episodes, though, animals aren't so good at other types of memories, like long-term memory. They have an episodic memory, which is much different than our memory, so there are aspects that they're bad at, but there's some types of memory, like photographic memory, that they're much better than us at.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that in mind when you say that a goldfish only has a 3-second memory or whatever. Again, go watch Mythbusters. Adam Savage teaches a goldfish how to go through
hoops. Yeah, you know what? Why do we even do this show?
Go watch Mythbusters.
Mythbusters is, yeah, I think it's all on DVD, Blu-ray. You could probably get it on Amazon pretty cheap.
Probably. You look that up.
Okay.
I want to move on to something a little bit different, but it's something I can see myself doing.
Okay,
That's sight.
Are you going to, like, pitch a career?
Do you get it?
Oh, yeah. Well, that was, yeah, okay.
Oh, God. It's a great episode. there's two aspects to sight that I want to cover, and that's our range of visible light.
Mm-hmm.
We can see Roji Biv, and the range of our vision in degrees, like out from our head, like how far we can see outward, which is kind of a long ways now that I'm putting my arms
out. Peripheral.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Apparently, humans can see out to 120 degrees, but only 6 degrees of that are actually in focus.
What?
The rest is like peripheral vision.
That's a bunch of garbage, and now I feel inferior.
Yeah, but now, like, think about it, though. Like,
I don't want to think about it. It makes me,
like,
sad.
Like, look at something and realize how much of it you are actually seeing. It's not a lot, like, just hit the microphone, but because I was trying to do things with my hands on an audio podcast. But think about it.
Yeah,
just do it.
I am.
Yeah,
it makes me bummed.
I know. You know what else makes you bummed? Not being able to see color.
Well, yeah,
so
I haven't ever seen it though, so.
the way that we see things, this is super dumbed down, but I think we need to cover it. The way we see things is light enters our eye through the iris, and since we have such a small iris, that's why we can only see like 6 degrees focused, and the rest of the 120 is out of focus. As that light enters our iris, it hits rods and cones at the back of our eyes, and the wavelengths of colors excite the rods and cones, and whatever is excited gets turned into electrical signals and sent to our brain, and that's how we see things.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, we're a bunch of mirrors. Our receptors are...
They're just replicating what they think they see.
And since it was kind of a long time ago, I should say I'm colorblind.
Yeah, we did a whole episode on it, which is important. We talked about this at length, but humans only have 3 types of cones in our eyes to interpret.
Ice cream, pine,
yeah.
I don't remember the last
and
one.
And traffic.
Yep.
But because we only have 3 cones, the only colors that we can see on the light spectrum is red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. There's other colors beyond that, and there's other colors before it, and it's all based on the wavelength.
If you're color normative, maybe.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Sometimes you're born without 3 cones,
uh-huh.
and you don't see the differences between red and green so well.
I'm red-green colorblind, but I've never had a problem with red and green. It's always been blue
and
purple.
We've told this story.
Yeah.
You thought your messenger bag was the same color as mine, and it wasn't.
Oh, because it was like off green, you know?
Yeah. One was dark brown and one was tan. Anyway, whatever.
In your reality.
But before red, there's infrared, and after violet, there's ultraviolet, and it goes on and on. There's like gamma rays and stuff, x-rays. That's all on the spectrum of light. We just can't see it.
But mantis shrimp can.
But what?
Mantis shrimp can. Yes, they can.
A lot of animals can see a lot of different colors. So
okay, don't belittle my mantis shrimp over here.
Talk about mantis shrimp.
Okay, so first of all, they're really cute.
They are.
They got good eyeballs.
Yep.
They could probably see a whole bunch better than us.
Yeah.
Directionally.
Yeah.
I don't have any research.
Well, I have some research on directional.
I'm going off of my photographic memory of a JPEG.
A BuzzFeed article you found?
Yeah. no, but I know that they can see far beyond the range of most other animals, not just humans.
Yeah. The one that came up in my research is that butterflies seem to have like the best
butterflies.
Butterflies.
That's the name of my metal band.
They're playing at Warped Tour this year.
Mm-hmm.
Come out and see them.
Warped Tour is over, isn't it? Forever?
I have no idea. You would know more than I would, so I'll trust you on this one. But
they're opening for Incendiary. There you go.
You're playing at Coachella.
There's one metalhead who's like, yeah.
Oh, God, I don't know what it means. So I'll trust that metalhead. But butterflies supposedly have one of the best ranges of eyesight in terms of color. They use UV rays to determine a good mate.
Mm-hmm.
And tan. Everyone uses UV rays to tan. Some salmon use UV rays to see food. Bees use it. Butterflies use it, like I said. Birds will use it to determine whether another bird is male or female.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of like infrared on the other side of the light spectrum, snakes can see infrared. Blood-sucking insects can see infrared, like mosquitoes and ticks. And I thought, I swore to my...
Butterfly.
I was going to say my Scooby-Doo collection, that cats could see infrared. Turns out that's a big misconception. And
I never heard that.
I heard that on a science show when I was like 6. And maybe I just remembered it wrong, or they were wrong, because science changes so much from year to year. But snakes and mosquitoes need it so they can see heat and find danger or blood to suck. But in terms of range of vision, there are some animals that can see in a 360-degree view of their environment.
Mm-hmm.
For instance...
Linda Blair from The Exorcist. owls, I think.
There's
right?
a side effect with Linda Blair, and that's that there's just vomit all over your room.
Yeah.
Owls go like it's close, but it's not 360. Chameleons actually can see 360 degrees because their eyes move independently, and their eyes are basically on the end of spindles, so they can just move them all over the place and move them independently, so they can see all over the place. Dragonflies' photoreceptors wrap all the way around their eyes, and their eyes are like outset from their head, so they can just naturally see in 360 degrees all the time.
So, like, when do I get to do this?
What you do is you get some VR goggles,
mm-hmm.
go to YouTube and find some of those 360 degree videos. I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
That probably worked.
I also just read about this the box jellyfish that has 24 eyes on it, so it can also see in 300 degrees. There's some animals that come close. I didn't know that goats can see in 340 degrees, which seems nuts to me. But you think about the shape of their iris, it's that oval, I don't know, like a squircle,
mm-hmm.
square tangle.
Yeah, that's why they're associated with Satan so much.
Yeah, because they can see everything. Yeah,
they made a trade.
The list goes on and on. Like, this is one of the things that almost all animals do better than humans, other than, like, bats. But
bats are bad at seeing.
I know. Or, like, those animals that live in caves and they've evolved not to have eyes anymore.
I just watched what do you call it again recently?
I don't know what you're talking about.
What the heck is it called?
You're going to have to tell me, man. I'm not a mind reader.
Oh, you should be, though. Come on.
Hang on. I'm thinking about it.
Use your photographic memory.
The Twilight Zone, which is the name of parts of caves.
Bunch of girls go in a cave. Scary monsters.
Dang it. What is that called?
The Descent.
Yeah, The Descent. I knew it was something.
Yeah. They got gross eyeballs mm-hmm. down there.
You know what? That's going to give me nightmares tonight.
Good.
Which happens when I sleep. Like that segue? Let's call it out. That's what we do with the segues on this show. We talk about them. So let's talk about why humans sleep in the first place.
Yes. Yes.
I'm asking you to talk about it.
So every night,
yeah.
your eyeballs are open all day, yeah. and your eyeball muscles go, ow, 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 I need a break.
You can hear it. If you're in a really quiet room mm-hmm. and you hook up like a high-powered microphone, you can hear your eyes saying that.
Ow, 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 ow,
yeah.
ow.
It sounds like Mario when he gets his butt burnt.
Ow, 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 ow.
Yeah.
Yep. Bouncing all over the place with his lava butt.
Yeah.
So, anyway, you gotta close them, and then your brain goes into cleaning mode.
Yep.
And it cleans out all the Alzheimer prevention yeah. stuff.
Well, that part's mostly true. A lot of why we sleep is mostly a mystery, but there are things that we know for sure. Yes, we believe that sleeping helps clean out the myelin sheath on your neurons, which keeps them clean. I found a website that said it cleans off toxins, but I was like,
No,
get out of here with that. What's really crazy is sleeping seems to be a byproduct of joining neurons together. So what your brain is, if you take a singular neuron, that's a brain cell, you put a bunch of those together and they start showing sleep-like behaviors.
So if we're going to use Occam's razor,
mm-hmm.
babies are new to everything,
huh?
So they're taking a lot more info, so yeah. they sleep a lot more.
That's fair. What some scientists did, though, is they started growing a brain in a petri dish.
Oh, I hate this.
Like, they started attaching neurons and growing neurons in a petri dish.
Yeah.
And as they started to get more neurons in there, it started to show sleep-like behavior.
What?
Right? Isn't that crazy?
I want to throw up. I'm not excited.
This is, like, my favorite fact of this entire show. And we believe that part of that is to restore energy or clean out the brain, like we said.
I want to know everything about that, but I don't want to puke everywhere.
Yeah. Well, I guess the idea is when neurons are working together, that expends a lot more energy, so it needs time to rest. There you go. That's kind of the school of thought on that right now. Like I said, a lot of it's still a mystery. All we know for certain is that if we don't sleep, it affects our immune system, makes us way more stressed out, takes a huge toll on our body, you can start hallucinating. It's good stuff. Get your brain cleaned. Go have a sleep. That should be the slogan for sleep.
Have a sleep. Get your brain
cleaned. It does sound like a 50s infomercial. Not infomercial. What do you call it?
Poster.
Yeah. What if we could sleep with just half of our brain at a time? We could get so much done, man.
Mm-hmm.
We could just sit here and talk for hours. Well, that's what dolphins do.
What?
See, Shelby already knew this stuff. And I was kind of like, really? I don't know.
How does she know this?
I don't know. Well, it makes sense when you think about it because humans are not conscious breathers. We do it automatically. We don't have to think about it because we live on the surface. Animals like dolphins and whales.
The surface of the earth?
Yes.
Okay.
Dolphins and whales live underneath the surface of the water.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to consciously go up to the surface of the water to get more air.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
Man.
Right. So they're what we call conscious breathers, which means if they don't remember to breathe, they will drown. So that becomes a problem when you try to enter a deep sleep because you can't go get more air.
My goodness. What a horrible, disastrous burden.
Well,
to be a dolphin, you know?
You would think. But they have found a solution. The dolphin scientists have been working night and day trying to come up with a way to not drown at night. And finally, they figured out if they sleep with half of their brain, the other half can surface for air.
Wow. They didn't do that, though. The dolphins thought that up?
Yeah, the dolphin scientist, Dr. Dolphin... Dr. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Sorry.
Let me reread that. It was Dr.
Yes. I think he's Swedish, so you got to put the accent on it like that. Yeah. I hope we're saying that. I don't want to be dolphins offensive out there.
Yeah.
We're usually pretty conscious of that, so sorry, dolphins.
You should have said dolphinish, but I'll let it slide.
Dang it. Okay. Well, you get 1 point. You get 1 gold star on the funny chart this week. We should make a funny chart. They don't enter a deep sleep like we do. Most mm-hmm. mammals will enter rapid eye movement, which is deep sleep, REM sleep.
It's more of a shallow sleep. Okay. Do I get in the star?
You get 2 stars this week, John. They did find that some whales will enter a deep sleep for about 6 minutes each night, which, to put into contrast that, I think with humans, for every 2 hours you sleep, usually about half an hour to an hour, that is REM sleep.
You ever have a hard time listening to the facts of a study, and you just think about the logistics of it?
Yeah.
Like how big the sensors on the whale would have been?
Yeah. Just the fMRI was the size of a house.
Just incredible.
Yeah. What if we only had to sleep 8 minutes each day?
Wait. Yeah? On. Are you trying to, bargain with me or something?
What if we only had to sleep 16 minutes each day? I got my math wrong.
Okay. I mean, that'd be great.
We could do so much podcasting.
Yeah, no? That's how I'd
spend it. That's how you want to spend your time. This is where ants come in. And disclaimer,
what?
I am sick of ants.
What? That's not even nice, dude. Your aunt was just at your Mother's Day party.
No, like the tiny little insects with 6 arms. My Aunt Lisa does not have 6 arms. But I went.
But my Aunt Siddhartha does.
Interesting. She from, Chernobyl?
Oh, no, not... did I mean... Who did I mean?
Vishnu?
Yeah, my Aunt Vishnu. Oh, boy. Take a star away.
I already did.
Thanks.
Now I can't reuse it because it's all folded in on itself.
Yeah, just keep it.
What a weird episode this has become. So there's ants all over my house, but now I'm going to say some really nice things about them. Don't get any ideas, though. I hate them.
What?
I hate
Why?
Them, and I went on an ant murdering rampage.
No.
Trust me.
I believe you. I trust you.
For a long time, scientists have been trying to figure out ants. Like, how do they know how to get back to their ant hill? They count their steps. You knew this. Don't give me that look. You knew about this study. You, told me about it a long time ago.
Yeah, that's why they're such good poker players.
Here's a fun thing.
Card counters.
If you ever have some free time
mm-hmm.
and you want to figure out how ants know how to get back to their anthill, put some ants on stilts and they will overshoot their anthill.
Wow.
Because they count their steps back to their anthill. And if you make their legs longer, they travel farther.
I like that you went with the proactive put them on stilts and not remove part of their legs.
Well, that's what the study was. Well, it turns out their sleep is just as weird as how they get back to their anthill. Within a 24-hour period, ants will go into 2 8-minute rest periods. And one of those rest periods is more like a nap, and the other is closer to what we would consider a good night's rest.
Wow.
But all they're doing is just like resting. They're not like entering a sleep state.
They just chill.
Yeah.
They just chill for a sec.
They just chill out.
They just chill for like a second.
16 minutes a day, man.
You ever wonder if time goes the same for them? If that's like, it feels like 8 hours, but probably not because they're, what's their memory like?
Probably really bad. They only have like a few neurons. That's the, I can't remember if it's bees or ants, but one of those, I think it's bees, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. They have too few neurons in their brain to function like they do, and it's baffled scientists for a really long time because
they're incredibly intelligent.
Right, they shouldn't be able to function the way that they do.
They leave their hive to go pee and say like be right back, and then they go back and go back.
Yeah, they got great healthcare systems in their hives.
Yeah, they got Medicare for all and stuff.
Speaking of things that are depressing, I just want to take this moment to remind everyone that we all die eventually.
Oh, I almost swore.
Well, humans will die. This is my segue. I have to call it out, otherwise people won't know.
Okay.
That this is the fifth topic.
Yep. We're even closer to death now. Go ahead and spit it out.
Thanks for wasting your time on our podcast. So either by unnatural causes like a piano falling on your head, or natural causes like
old age. Piano falling from a tree that died on your head.
The piano tree.
Mm-hmm.
We all die, and the first one, the unnatural causes, pianos falling on your head, just sort of happen. The second one is usually because of a process called senescence, which we talked about before. I can't for the life of me remember what episode, but this is where, due to just the natural occurrence of our cells dividing or exposure to the poisonous oxygen in the air, our cells deteriorate over the time.
We talked about this recently, that they become copies of copies.
Yeah. So as you start making copies, there's degradation there. Just try to think of Xeroxing the same image 100 times. Eventually, it's not going to look as good as the original. That's the same thing with our DNA. As you start splicing it, it gets worse and worse.
I'm going to nominate stem cells as a topic for us soon.
Yeah, we should do that. It's controversial and fun.
Mm-hmm. Just like Justin
Bieber.
Batteries.
Okay, I wasn't going to go that direction. But that whole process is called senescence, and there's this thing called negligible senescence, which none of that observably happens. And I say observably happens because that's hard to say, and because we've found that some animals have lived hundreds of years, and we can't just like watch them live because eventually we're going to die. But we assume that they have negligible senescence, which means that none of this degradation happens to the DNA.
Yeah, that's when we talked about the infinite crocodiles.
Yes, exactly. So one of the animals that has negligible innocence is crocodiles and alligators. There's tortoises. Yeah, tortoises is a good example. There's a bunch of these. Later, I'm going to ask you what the oldest of a few animals are, like the rockfish. There's some salamanders, urchins, clams, and sharks all seem to have negligible senescence. So they don't age. And that's what, I mean, senescence is basically aging. So one article pointed out that a 7-year-old alligator is just as good as a 70-year-old alligator. The way that they die is they either can't keep up with their cell growth, so they get like so big they can't get enough food to stay alive, or a piano falls on their head.
Wow. I want to put them in a
natural cause of death
laboratory
and study them,
you know, like just see how long we could go.
Yeah, well, like I said, we would die. So you have to like set up a Lost system, like for the TV show Lost, where you just have new people coming in. They have to learn the system and they have to watch the animals.
With that much time, you think you could teach it like how to speak English or something cool.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
teach them one word every 10 years.
The humans or the animals?
I don't know. I'm just thinking about infinite alligators. I'm excited.
Yeah, infinite. Well, there's also jellyfish. I can't remember what the species of jellyfish is. If I thought about it for a second, I could remember.
Manowar?
No.
Box?
No. We already talked about box.
Strawberry?
No. They don't die. Once they like go through a death process, they just regenerate like a Time Lord from Doctor Who. Like they're literally a water phoenix. They just sprout back up as a newborn.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure that the science is a little bit more nuanced than that, but that's what we're gonna go with. So animals are better at living than humans. How does that make you feel?
Living, seeing, poking buttons on a screen.
Yeah, animals are just better than humans. So don't eat them.
Hey, look. freaking hippie.
Yeah, I know. I'm on my way. Just for our listeners out there, I'm on my way. Trying to be better about not eating animals, but chicken is just so delicious, man.
Yeah, cool.
Sorry to tell you that.
They are.
But I didn't want to get too dark. Humans do suck, but there are some things that they do better. Like talking. That's like the one thing I can think
of. Yeah. Screw you, animals.
Yeah. You try to say senescence.
Yeah.
Or
negligible. Or incendiary. The band I tried to mention and goofed up.
So after, we're going to go on a quick break. I'm going to ask you to recap before we go on our break. Kind of already did, but I'm going to make you do it formally.
Okay, yeah.
When we come back from our break, I'm going to count these. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 animals I just ripped off of Wikipedia. And I'm going to ask you how old the oldest one of them is that we've found.
Okay, so are you good at something? Are you a human being with feelings and emotions and passions? There's always going to be an animal that's better at it than you are.
This sounds like an infomercial. Keep going with it.
That's it. That's it. Oh. Just give up.
Oh, I don't like that.
The inspirational message from me to you. Unless it involves, what do we do better, talking?
Yeah.
Yeah. Start a podcast. There's not enough.
Make your dog start a podcast. What about those dogs that say, I love you?
Yeah, you can probably do that enough. Did I tell you? Okay, so you asked me to recap. This is definitely part of it.
Oh, okay.
I started it's a related. Fun little music project called Little Meme, right?
Okay, yeah.
And my biggest goal right now, beyond making music and videos and all that stuff, is to get Wally to howl so I can make the summer R&B track of 2018. So you can look out for that soon.
Okay, I'm looking out for it. Where
but
is it?
All he did was bark, and I couldn't use any of the footage. I was trying to Melodyne it.
Teach him to say, I love you.
I'll work
Put it up on YouTube.
He doesn't feel emotions.
It'll end up on America's Funniest Home Videos or something.
Yeah.
Hey, John.
John, where can people find us?
That scared me.
StrangerStillShow.com.
And on Facebook.
Which is Stranger Still. And we also are on a network.
We are. We've talked a lot about it.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the Flying Machine Network. It's a great place to be. Join the Facebook group because there's stuff going on there every day. I also want to say Falling in Love Montage is doing Matthew McConaughey. So all May, every week, they're releasing a review, a feminist review of a Matthew McConaughey chick flick. And next week, I'll be on talking about, I already forgot the name, even though I just watched it on Sunday. Ghost of Girlfriend's Past.
Cool.
And you'll be on, I think, the week after that doing Fool's Gold, right?
Yep. Lots of boats. That's what I know about it.
Yeah. You showed me a picture, and Matthew McConaughey does not have a shirt on.
No, he is buff and tough.
Yeah. So here's a little teaser for Ghost of Girlfriend's Past. It's really bad. Mm-hmm. Go listen to the episode to find more. I have 4 pages of notes on that movie, all handwritten on college ruled notebook paper.
Wow.
So look forward to that. The other thing too, I was just listening to, I don't know how recent it is at this point, but Oops, I Talked Politics episode on memes and politics.
Yeah.
I kept listening to that and thinking about our meme episode. They do a really good job of condensing down what a meme is, but also tie it back to how it affects us politically. And that's something that we're both passionate about, mostly off the air. But if you're interested in memes and politics, there's no better place than Oops, I Talk Politics.
Yeah, and they actually plugged our meme episode on that episode.
Oh, did they? I didn't get to the end because I was driving.
They talked about, look at
Sorry,
this.
Guys.
Organic brothership.
I listened to most of it. I was driving to Toys R Us to get some toys because they're going out of business. Because I'm a grown man that buys Scooby-Doo toys. Anyway. The last thing is you should support us on Patreon, on the network Patreon.
Because
if you do that, if you give $5 a month, you get one bonus episode every month from every show on the network. And if you want to learn more about all that, you can go to flyingmachine.network. It's really easy to remember. I know it's really hard sometimes to remember this stuff because like you're driving, you're mowing your lawn.
Because you're a human with a bad memory.
Yeah. And I'm subject to this all the time. Like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go support that person on Patreon, like Captain Disillusion or whoever. And then I just forget.
Yeah, do it right now.
Yeah. Well, not if you're driving, but Flying Machine.
I would put my financial gains over your comfort and safety.
Oh, John would. I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Just remember that Flying Machine.
On the record, like legally. Like I'd like, yeah, legally I
this
care
This is in a courtroom somewhere.
Okay.
Congratulations. Your Honor, back to you. Is that how that works? Is a courtroom like a newsroom?
Yeah, it's just like... And then they give the weather.
Yeah.
Whether you did it or not.
Oh, good one. I like that. I'm not going to laugh, though, because that would mean I have to put a sticker on the star chart. But no, flyingmachine.network, it's the easiest domain to remember because we're on the network and it's called Flying Machine. So go check that out, and we have all the shows there, and you can go to our Patreon from there and give us some moolah. Oh, the other thing I want to say about the Patreon, I meant to say this last week, but I'm just going to be completely transparent with what we want to use your Patreon money for, because you can choose the shows that you listen to.
Mm-hmm.
We want to go to a visual format. We want to have like live streams and Q&As and stuff. For that, we need equipment.
Yep.
And for equipment, we need money.
Yep.
And that's where you guys come in. So if you like the show, consider donating even $1 a month. Gets you some like a newsletter and the feed to the old Comrade Radio. So that would really help us out and push us toward getting into that visual format. So
yep, and which would be incredibly exciting for us.
Yeah. And if times are tight and you can't pay, that sounded like I'm a mobster, but just like consider sharing with your friends if you think they might like why animals are better than humans, or
yeah, maybe shoot them a messenger link.
Yeah, it'd be super nice of you. I've talked long enough. Should we get to our little game here?
Let's do that.
I got this. I don't know.
I mean, I'm the one that has to risk my life.
I've got 9 of these. If you get 5 of these right,
mm-hmm.
I will respond to the name.
Oh my God, I'm very excited.
I didn't think this out ahead of time.
Anything I want.
Yeah, you can call me whatever you want, and I will respond to it as long as it's an animal type name.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
For the rest of the day. Congratulations, you have 24 hours. If you get 5 right. So I have an animal, and then I have 2 years. They're very high numbers, and you have to guess which one of these is the length of that animal's life to its full... This is the worst explanation I've ever had for anything.
How long it's lived.
Yes, that we've been able to observe. So are you ready for this?
Yes. Thanks for that.
That's copyright. Now we owe someone a bunch of money. This episode is so weird, man. So our first one is the rough-eye rockfish.
Mm.
Now, the oldest rough-eye rockfish was either 305 years old or 205 years old.
Mm, wonderful. So let's think this through real quick. Let's play the game.
We're going to be here all day.
They are, let's say, I'd say Iraq is probably one of the oldest countries.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say if they're roughly from Iraq... They're a fish. I'm going to go with 305.
Wrong. 205 years.
prove it. How about that?
Go to wikipedia.com.
Okay. What's the next one?
Next one is an olm, O-L-M, which is basically just a salamander.
Sounds like something the ancients would say.
Olm. Yeah, you're right. It's a salamander, though, not a chant. Now, the oldest salamander was either 102 years old or 72 years old.
That's not an exciting enough difference.
But I'm going to go hard.
I'm going to go 102.
Hey, you're right.
Yeah.
It was 102 years old.
Because it's kind of like a little, you know, salamanders are just smooth crocodiles, if you think about it. Tiny, smooth crocodiles.
Yeah.
So they probably live pretty long.
Yeah. Specifically this type of salamander. The next one I have is the painted turtle,
mm-hmm.
which... I have a cool story about painted turtles. We found some at my grandparents' cabin up in Minnesota, and this was like in July, and we entered them into the turtle races in Nisswa, Minnesota.
Wow.
Now, the oldest painted turtle...
That's the most Midwest thing I've ever heard.
The oldest painted turtle was either 101 years old or 61 years old.
Oh, come on. It's going to be 100 and whatever.
No, it was 61.
What?
Yeah.
I thought these guys were little old fellas. Is that just tortoises?
That's a painted turtle. These things are like the size of your fist.
I don't know what a painted turtle small. Is.
I'll show you a picture. They're like this bit. They're like the ones you buy at the pet store.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would assume the reason they only get to 61 years is because they probably outgrow their food supply or like a crocodile comes and eats them. How about a Blanding's turtle? This one has lived to either 77 years or 101 years.
I mean, I've had a bunch of luck with the centennial stuff so far, so let's go with it. 101.
No, 77 years.
Oh, God. I'm going to have to call you Nick.
Yeah, you are. I'm excited about that. I think you have to get...
All of them right?
All but one of these right.
Okay.
The next one is the Eastern Box Turtle. This one has either lived to 101 years or 138 years.
Okay, I'm familiar with these little guys.
Yeah.
So I've seen them in the wild, in my apartment complex when I was a kid.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay. So how old was that one?
130-something.
138?
Uh-huh.
Hey, you finally got one right!
Look at that. I knew it would pay off. Always bet high. That's my...
that
your
can
motto? Never lose.
All right, then how about this one? The red sea urchin either lived 200 years or 2,200 years.
Oh, man. That's the differences I'm looking for. That's that contrast. Well, I'm going to say red is one of the first colors, right?
It is. On the...
Red, green, blue. So red's first.
Okay, yeah.
It's also first historically, because we used to be Mars.
Okay. Conspiracy. We're getting way off. Okay.
It's also really the lowest on the spectrum.
Can you just answer the
2000 question?
200.
What?
200 years.
But jellyfish probably could get to the 2000, right?
Well, that's not on my list, so there you go.
Okay, well, I'm just trying to make myself feel better, but...
You have to get the next three right.
Okay.
So don't screw up. The next one is the ocean quahog clam,
famous
for its appearance in Family Guy.
Yeah, really.
These either lived 507 years or 500 years.
Couldn't make that extra bump, could you, bud?
Uh-uh.
I'm going to go with 500.
507.
And 7 years.
You were wrong.
I had a clam in my throat.
Oh, is that right?
It's a cultural idiom that I used to... My family used to say, New York thing? Oh, I got a clam in my throat. Yeah.
Yeah, that's an Italian-American type of saying.
Yeah, right.
Yep. I'm going to still call that one this wrong.
Okay, well, you know, we could disagree, but...
If you get these next two right, I'll let you call me whatever.
Okay.
As long as it starts with the letter K.
All right.
Next one is the Great Basin Bristlecone Pine, which is a tree. It's a living organism.
Can you say that with like a nice like...
The Great Basin Bristlecone Pine.
Oh, that's exactly what I needed.
This one either lived 713 years or 4,713 years.
Okay. So, I love science.
Yeah.
You know this about me.
Yeah.
I love scientists. I love what they do. But man, like, who cares, you know? Like, 700, I guess. No, I'm gonna go with the 4001 because I know that I know there are trees that live that long.
Yeah,
and you would probably pick the most extreme example of that.
No, so. I just copied and pasted this right off of Wikipedia.
4000,
but it is 4,713 years. Hey, you finally got one right.
All
right, you get the next one right. You can call me any animal that starts with the letter K.
Yeah,
that limits you to like there's three: the kangaroo, the kiwi, and the kukuru, which is a dinosaur. How about the Greenland shark? They either lived 600 years or 400 years.
The Greenland shark?
Yeah, up in Greenland.
Oh, Greenland shark.
I think I said it like an idiot.
Yeah.
Greenland.
The Greenlandern.
I'm taking a trip to Iceland. No, that doesn't work.
Doesn't work as well. 400 or what?
600.
Okay. So it's either 400 years, like 400 years.
Yeah.
Or 600 years.
Yeah.
I'm looking for social cues.
Let me give you a clue.
Okay.
Sharks have been around for...
600 years.
Longer than the dinosaurs have been extinct. That's not a clue. I just felt like saying it.
Wow. That's very unhelpful.
Yeah.
600.
No, 400, dude.
Oh my god. I had this whole Captain Kangaroo bit I was going to plan.
I was going to say that animals went extinct or dinosaurs went extinct 65 million years ago, but I thought that you would have gone with 600.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to say that, and you still went with it.
Yeah.
Cuz you are a big dummy.
I'm going to still call you whatever you want. You just don't have to respond.
I don't. I won't respond, and I will throw my feces at you.
Oh, gross, dude. Okay, well.
You got anything else for this episode?
Not after that. I just kind of want to leave.
You know what? I bet I'm better at throwing feces than monkeys are.
Yeah, you don't know. Don't knock it till you try it, I guess.
I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
And this is Stranger Still.
That was very good.
I give you the incredible flying machine.